American biracial male. And working with SHARE, Society for History and Racial Equity, got pulled into the work through that, and also just as an individual who has family roots in Kalamazoo, definitely just like interested on a personal level for sure, but also like tied to it through the work of SHARE. So glad to be doing it. And attended, I think, a few, if not most, of the controlling the narrative workshops that you put on with SHARE, or for SHARE. And I think I've been at the table for most of the history meetups. What else were we looking for?
That's good for now.
Okay.
Yeah, perfect.
My name's Hashima Sprague. I am 16 years old, and I got involved through you guys.
Yeah,
my mom. I went to a few of your workshops, and then I've just been to these meetings for the pension records.
My name is Laura Sprague. I am going to be 50 this year.
Woo!
I'm white, and I have been involved in this project through the Controlling the Narrative project first, and then we had a pension reading party.
Mm-hmm.
And then we all read the pension records, and then there was like a radio report that day, and then it seemed to get further, and then we got further involved with it. I guess it was like a second half of it.
My name's Haley Wentz. I'm 21. I am white. I am the summer intern for Society for History and Racial Equity. And I got asked by Donna if I wanted to partake in like the second half of the Controlling the Narrative workshops, which is the pension records. And I said yes because I'm here, and I figured that would help like better broaden what I was doing as an intern this summer.
My name is Jessalyn Leach, African-American biracial, 21 years old, and involved in the pension records workshop.
Great. So what was the most significant change that you might have seen through this whole project? So thinking of controlling the narrative and the conversations we had with white allies, for example, and the conversations we had before that around people like Tamir Rice and all of sort of the ancestors of the African Americans that have been killed. What, and the pension records, just overall, what do you think, if you felt any big change in yourself or any big change in your community, what would that be?
Yeah, thinking back about some of the controlling the narrative workshops and I guess it's really just sticking with me and going through some of the pension records and history stuff in general. Just really the idea around who is writing down history or information and where we're getting it from and how, who's controlling the narrative. I mean, I know that was the name of it, but like literally who's, you know, as we sit around the table and put together collections of individuals in their history in Southwest Michigan, just thinking about that and everything, like who's the teller of the story, and realizing how much that matters in terms of their analysis of whatever, and thinking about, you know, recent events in the media as it relates to race and racism is definitely like through some of the conversations, I think it just helped reiterate just that like some of these folks just don't know what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in terms of who we're listening to get our information from. Like, some of these folks just don't know what they're talking about.
And if you want, I can ask a little bit more pointed, and thank you, Jacob, but you can think along the lines of, like, how did this experiences that you've had affect your thoughts about, your thoughts or beliefs about race in this community? How has it affected how you think about yourself? Or how has it affected even what you think about your community? So any of those things are fair game. Any internal changes, any external views that have changed?
I think I've become more aware, and or I've read about it
kind of understood more of my history and like what my African American ancestors have went through, and it's crazy. It's like something that I wouldn't learn in school, so it's good to learn it now. So now I'm just like, I can understand it within myself, so that's better than what I knew before.
Has that affected you in any way?
I guess it just makes me stop and think more, and like try to relate current events and current things that have happened to what's happened in the past, and like how people are treated then and how they're treated now.
What connections do you see, if any?
That like officials don't really care about a hurting black body, if that makes sense. Like about Jeremiah Stafford, like he was shivering and like freezing while he was sleeping, and the sergeant came in there and didn't do anything about it. He was just like, oh, I'm surprised you're not dead, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But now a body can just lay in the street dead for 4 hours, you know what I'm saying? So like, yeah.
It made me think about current times too. I think the migration is pretty significant to me, just because I see people in my own family, you know, queer people of color particularly, wanting to move because the climate is so negative and oppressive. Same way, you know, and I find daily conversations about migration. So thinking about that migration and how that happened and where it happened and how did they do that, and is really powerful and sad and inspiring maybe at the same time.
I would say for me, I've done a lot of work with the Engaging the Wisdom Project at SHARE throughout this summer, and so I've had the chance to listen to a lot of people's stories, especially surrounding like the civil rights movements, and all the people that we've interviewed and that like the transcriptions that I've been working with are people of color. And so, I mean, like listening to my grandparents' stories and stuff, who are around the same age and like share the same stories, it's very different because they're white, and so their stories from North Dakota, a small town in North Dakota, are very different from people who were active in Chicago, Detroit, and are people of color. And so just that the information is readily available to me from like someone's perspective who is white, and that you have to like search, and at least me being a white person, I had to like seek out and go out of my way to find like the same narrative but from a different perspective from someone of a different race. I can see it like similarly here. So like you have to work so hard to piece together like someone's life if they are a person of color, but like you just know, or I'm assuming, I mean I don't know, that if I were to look for someone same age, same gender, same whatever, but they're white, that it would be a lot simpler process to find out the exact same information that has taken us hours and hours to find of someone who is black or African race.
It made me more aware, especially on my own journey and process of self-discovery. So growing up with like my white family from the age of 8 to even now, like they're all that I see. And the entire time never being acknowledged or never being educated or having acknowledgement that like I am a person of color. So having the community and space to learn about just myself has created a greater awareness for me in the way that I see things externally as well as internally.
Go ahead.
Say it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, well, I was just going to say another thing that really? It's also, I just didn't want to interrupt. I don't want to speak too much. Thinking about my legacy too, so going over other folks' history and like what they've left over, and thinking about myself, it's definitely like now I'm thinking critical, like okay, not that I'm planning on doing anything soon, but just like what can I make sure to do to keep my family legacy going and known for future generations who might come along, like make it easier so we don't have to go through all these
right.
extra stuff. But think about that too. Right?
Okay, just two more quick questions. And so if you think about the overall experience again, if you have an I was and an I am that you could say, and it might be just a word, like I was confused and I am still confused. I don't know, you know, whatever it comes up.
Can we say three questions because I have one too?
Oh yeah. And then I have a what's next question. What would, if there's something that you wanted to happen next with this, or something that you, can be something you still want to know, something you still want to experience, conversations you still want to have with people in the community. So if you have a what's next or what could be next question or response, throw that out there too.
And then the third question is, what strategy did you learn have you learned from the history that people used in the past that you think you could use now?
And strategy, by strategy you mean?
How were people, what did they do to survive, to try to thrive for themselves, for others? What tool can you pull out of history that you feel like you can use today? Will you repeat your question?
I was, I am. What's next? What would you like to be next, I should say? And it could be in any order.
I was not excited about digging into history that much because I didn't want to do enough digging to really find out the truth, I guess.
Mm.
And now I am more interested.
Such a good historian.
Right, to say the least.
Yeah. And I'm quite interested in what I am. And then you want me to say my other one? What's next?
Yeah.
Or
what would you like to be next?
I like next thinking about that question, like what we learned from that, what we learned. Like I'm thinking about that newsletter, that journal is clearly about investing and investing in the community, in the African American community in 1894, and that would include divesting from the white stores and stuff, I would imagine. So just seeing that, and the news, and the, you know, spreading the news and the encouragement, just that's one example of like something I think that could take forward.
Mm-hmm.
Letting people know where to spend their money.
Mm-hmm. Today, you mean?
Today, right? But learning that from there, like, oh, look at this great newsletter they have that has it all listed right here. Where we can go in the community.
Yes.
Go ahead, grab your scissors. Just kidding. I was uninformed. Now I am involved.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's next is digging into my personal story, my personal history, looking at my ancestors and asking them for their stories so I get the personal as well as the records, which could help shape the story. And a strategy I would learn is sticking together and or not being isolated.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I was confused, and now I am more enlightened or aware. What's next? I think to use this information to apply it to my everyday life, or even like just think about how it applies to my life. What I can pull. Oh, I think it's important to talk to people about what you're going through and what's happening in your life. Because, like, from those records, the only reason these people know about Jeremiah Stafford, in my case, is because he told them or he mm-hmm. talked to them about what was going on. And I feel like that's important, and I can do that.
Think about me, I had... feel like was before definitely a lover of history, maybe consider myself a historian, maybe not, but now I feel like I've got more experience really doing the work of like research, which is like I feel like the next level of being a historian. Like, it's one thing to just like study history and events, and it's another thing to try to like research and create those stories in history. And I feel like this has been a next level elevation for me in my love of history, specifically history of African Americans and resistance, and thinking about what's next is like, how can I further my work with Cher and as an individual in terms of telling the story of Black folk in Kalamazoo and in Southwest Michigan, and kind of like other said, also digging deeper into my family history and trying to be able to tell that story a little bit better. And yeah, many strategies to build off of all that have been said, definitely agree. And then I'm also thinking about like the family structure. I feel like a lot of, or most of the individuals that we're talking about had like, there was this concept of like family, and like it seemed like folks just had like strong family units. Mm-hmm. And we're building bonds between different family units and like sticking together and not being isolated. Like, there's like something about that like family vibe that I feel like I'm noticing that I'm just picking up off of. Mm-hmm. And I want to be able to recreate that with mine, that strong sense of family. I think, kind of like I just said, growing up, maybe didn't necessarily feel that, but researching, I feel that, and I want to build on that myself.
Okay, I was content, and I am, like, questioning and thinking. What's next? I would say sort of not relearning history, but like reapproaching history than like I was taught in high school, which is why I got a liberal arts college, you know. And what's the
strategy?
I would say preservation in a sense, like these pension records that we have. I mean, you didn't like just dig them out of the trash and make a photocopy. Like, you know, someone saved them. They came from someone's attic. They came from someone's whatever. And I just feel like I myself am like very prone to like throwing things away and like whatever. And I don't keep anything really. And I don't know like what might be important, what might my kids want, what might future generations want that like depict me well. So yeah, they saved. I mean, obviously these were important documents, which I do save. But I don't know, just saving. Saving more, like they saved the bare minimum, but like have they saved other stuff? More individual things.
Okay, well, she's trying to push.
Yeah, she is. Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you all. So
it was amazing.
Yeah, that's what you
said. And I'm going to text myself.
About the family connection, because that's kind of what I was talking about with the migration, too.
Oh, yes, me too.
So many people moved up from North Carolina with Quakers,
right.
Good allies, moving with some fugitive slaves,
right.
Some free people.
Right.
And they all stuck together. They're like, we're moving. It looked like, it reads like, they're moving as a community.
Yeah.
Like, you know what, y'all?
Yeah. Right. We're making a decision together.
Yes.
Right.
It's not like this is one person who's like, I had enough, I'm gone, but like, we all together have had enough. Like, we all, right.
Which feels really powerful.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And seeing your community as family.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yep.
Like, okay, these are the people I'm going to actually move with.
And even thinking about, just like, that's what we need.
I was just
even thinking about civil rights movement. Like, I feel like that's one thing they had up was like they had those face to face like relationships. Like they were living, eating, and sleep like sleeping together. Like it wasn't just so literally,
literally sleeping together.
You know, isolation.
Right, like we're really close. We're close enough that we're gonna all move together.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
So like to Medellin, Colombia. For instance.
Yes, with Medellin. Right, yeah, people are deciding to move. Oh, good luck about not there right now. In the early half of the year.